Welcome to the Rivers of Living Waters broadcast. Have you ever wondered if God has emotions? Maybe you're thinking, yeah, he's angry all the time. And that may be how some people view God. But the truth is, he has the same emotions we do. In Zephaniah 3:17, it even says that God laughs. Listen as our pastor digs a little deeper into this short but powerful verse of scripture.
Turn in your King James Bibles to Zephaniah, the prophet Zephaniah. It's only three short chapters, but oh, such a powerful book. And really, we don't preach a whole lot out of the Old Testament. Most of us don't. We are a New Testament church. Thank you, Lord, for that. As I've been reading through the Old Testament in my private devotions, I thank him more and more for grace. Amen. That we're under the New Testament covenant, not the Old Testament covenant. But we can sure learn a lot. And one of the things we can learn about the personality of God is that God is a laughing God. And God is a singing God. And here in Zephaniah chapter number 3, in verse 17, you can read the whole chapter later, but I want you to see it says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing." Let's read that again. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you." And the word "with joy" could be interpreted laughter. "He will rejoice over you with laughter. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing." God is a laughing God. I want to give you 3 points today real quickly for you to think about the personality of God. God is a laughing and singing God. Sometimes we have this picture of God that has been misconstrued in one of several fashions. Either number one, we see him as a mean ogre that's looking down from heaven with a lightning bolt ready to strike you dead if you do anything wrong. That is not who God is. But on the other side, we have the emerging church who is preaching so much grace and so much love and unbalanced gospel that God is always just for you. He's the best friend. He's the big guy upstairs. He's this, that, and the other. Let me tell you something. That neither one of those extremes are right. God is a just God. But God is also a God of love, a God of laughter, a God of singing. He's not always stoic. He's not always mean-spirited. God is a loving, laughing, singing God. And sometimes when he sings, number one, his sing is sweet. His sing is sweet. His laugh is sweet. You see, God loves us. And God delights in us. And he smiles when we are behaving as children of God. Amen? Think about God as a father, because God as a father has the same characteristics he put in us as parents. He has those same characteristics. We're made in his image. When your child does something good, you smile. When your child is recognized, school starts this week, and when you get those report cards and they're all A's, you smile. You're happy. Whenever he or she gets recognized for something they've done well at school, or somebody in the community brags on them because they came and cut the widow's grass, or they did something, or maybe they took out the trash without having me told, you smile. And it's something that makes you laugh. And God is that type of God. He delights in us. He loves to see his children grow. And that means that God is for us. He's not against us. In fact, the Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? God loves us. And here's the big thing. God wants to bless us. We are his delight. We are the apple of his eye. There's a song that the Rochesters used to sing. He treats me like I'm his only child. Amen? He does like to bless us. And it seems like if you just count your blessings, there's a song, Brother D, count your blessings, name them one by one. If we tried to count all of our blessings, we would be here till Jesus comes. Because he has blessed us in so many ways. You woke up this morning, didn't you? I like what the black pastor used to say. I woke up this morning with a relative amount of health and strength. Amen. I had a good measure. I might have had a couple aches and pains, but that just teaches me that I'm still alive. Amen. And that God is good. And Brother Hugh, you can relate to this when you can feel pain in your toe. Amen. Because the neuropathy and diabetes sometimes takes that sensation away. So when you step on that Lego in the middle of the night, you rejoice that you're able to feel that pain. God woke you up this morning. God gave you breath this morning. God gave you the ability to get to church this morning. We here in America are thankful that we have air conditioning. Hallelujah. The worst, most hottest days that we are past now, and we're good outside and it feels good in the sanctuary. We've got a nice clean place to worship. We have people down in Haiti and they'll be listening to this message too. And they're listening to us under a brush arbor. Literally, they're under a tarpaulin in the middle of the equator, hot tropical climate. But we're here. Amen. And we're blessed of the Lord and we're highly favored. God wants to bless us. He wants to delight in us. He wants to give us joy. Look at verse 17. It says, He rejoices over us with laughter. Another way of saying is He sweetly laughs with us as we go through our lives with Him. God laughs with us as we go through life with Him. He rejoices over us. He it's like a parent watching his newborn baby. Oh, look at that boy. He's smiling. You don't realize he's just got gas. Amen. Oh, honey, look, he's rolling over by himself. You remember those days? He rolled over in the crib by himself. Look at that. Oh my goodness. Look at him. He's holding his head up on his own. Look at that. He's pulling up on the couch. Oh my. Come here, honey. Take a picture. He's walking. You remember those days? You remember those times? And you know how you just bubbled and laughed and the kids are laughing at me. But the fact of the matter is, that's how parents did. When you had something that was expected, we expected you to scoot across the floor. We expected you to crawl. We expected you to pick up and pull yourself up. We expected you to hold your head up on your own. Yes, we even expect you to fill your diaper up. And it was a blessing that mama was there to change it. Amen. And all that was expected. But boy, when you did those things, we just laughed with you. And oh, we talked so funny over you because that was the days. Those minor expected growth, we celebrated with laughter. You laugh with joy as your child grows. God's like that. When God looks down and sees you, He said, oh, look, He's trusting me as His Lord and Savior. That's salvation. Now I can adopt Him into my family. Now He can become one of my children. Oh, look, He's getting baptized. Angels, look down there. He's followed me in baptism. Oh, great. He just joined the church. God the Father is laughing as you're joining the church. Look at Him. He's serving me. He's going to the homeless shelter tonight. He's feeding the home. Oh my goodness, He's doing what Matthew 25 said. Y'all come look at what my boy's doing. Come look at what my daughter's doing. I am so happy. He just laughed. You make God laugh when you serve Him well. Hey, look at that. He's helping that lady over there with her car. He's cutting that widow woman's grass without having to expecting any pay. Hey, come over here, Peter. Look down there. He's volunteering to help somebody. He's volunteering to serve in the church. Oh, my goodness. Y'all, he's cleaning the church. He's cutting the grass. He's planting flowers in the flower bed. Oh, look, he's attending church regularly. Oh, he's coming to church on Sundays, every Sunday. He's not letting anything stand between him and me. Oh, I like it. Oh, hey, come here. Look. My boy just quit smoking. Oh, yes, he gave up that filthy habit. He's not drinking anymore. He's not cursing anymore. Look at this, y'all. He's growing in the Lord. He's telling somebody his testimony. He's talking to somebody about Jesus. He's giving out a gospel tract. He's inviting somebody to church. Look at that boy. He's doing my will. Look at her. She's got a devotional book. She's got her Bible out. We're going to have fellowship today. Oh, I'm so proud of my child. And God laughs when we just do those things that are expected, those things that Christians do. It makes our Father happy. I can just hear Him saying, hey, they just took up the tithe and offering. Did you see that He put some money in the plate? Did you see that little boy walk down there and put that money in the drummer boy offering? Oh, I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of them. I love Him coming and praying. I love it when they read their Bible every day and we can talk to each other through the Word of God. I love our time together. I enjoy our fellowship. I can't wait till He comes and says, Father, and we can just spend time together, He and I alone. Oh, we love it. God laughs with joy when we trust Him. God laughs with joy when we serve Him. God laughs with pleasure when we do those things that honor Him. And as we believe Him, and as we grow in grace, and as we practice faith, as we become living sacrifices, living our life a holy, separated life unto God, as we do what the Bible said, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is just our reasonable service, it makes God laugh. And God laughs with us as we go on this faith journey. Just like that parent, or can I say now that I've got 7 grandchildren, that grandparent that dotes over their children, who rejoices and laughs out loud at the accomplishment of their children. I can't wait. Ball season starting, and my 9-year-old boy is going to play baseball again, and he's already had his first 2 practices. And I talked to his daddy. I said, how's he doing this year? And he said, you know, last year, his first year, remember me telling you that he was probably the worst kid on his team? I said, yeah. He said, well, now, as of today, this was the 2nd practice, he said, I would say he's probably in the top 3 in his team now. Oh, I just got excited. We laughed together. I said, man, that's great. That pitching machine I bought him and that batting cage we put up, all that's happened. He's spending time. I'm so proud. And you know what? We ordered a shirt with his name on it. And we got this badge with his picture on it. We're going to sit in the stand. We're going to cheer him on. And that will be our life for the next few weeks. As grandparents and parents rejoice with joy over their children. God does the same thing. He's so excited when we do what is right. I can remember those days. It says that He laughs and rejoices, and we laugh and rejoice at the accomplishments of our children and our grandchildren. I can recall those days when we went to the Christian school graduation services, and they had not just graduate, but they also presented different awards for different things, you know. And I was so honored. And yes, it was great when our kids made the A honor roll. Some of them did, some of them didn't. And it was great when they did this. But the one that made me the most proud as a parent was when they would receive the award for Christian character. Amen? And I can remember smiling from ear to ear and getting all excited and clapping loudly and laughing over them, because I really enjoy knowing that our kids were taking on the characteristics of Christ. The Bible said He laughs with us. He rejoices with joy. He laughs out loud at the accomplishments of His children. Isn't it good to have a laughing God that laughs with us? But notice also in verse 17, He doesn't just laugh, but it says He sings. He sings. God sings over us with joy. See what it says? He rejoices of you with joy, or He rejoices of you with laughter. He will rest in His love. He will joy over you with singing. Singing. Did you ever think about God being a God that sings? He sings over you. Now, that picture to me, and I got me a little illustration here, is whenever a parent picks up their baby in the middle of the night, or maybe you try to get them to go to sleep. Now, what do? When you get them to go to sleep, come on now. As a parent, over there in the old nursery in the old fellowship building, we have the original chair that our first church gave us when Joshua was born. It was back in the 70s, it was ugly green, but it was popular back then. Y'all remember, it's a kind of a lime green, it's ugly, but it was comfortable. And I can remember many a time as a parent, I'd look down at my boy. I guess this is a boy doll. I told him I'm going to bring a doll. I don't know if it's a boy doll or not. But I looked down at my daughter too, and I'd hold him in my arms, and I'd do like this. Y'all remember that? Did y'all ever do that? And then I'd sit in that rocking chair, and I'd rock, and it would swivel, and it would rock, and I'd swivel. And what was inevitable? Oh, I talked to him for a little while. Hey, buddy, your daddy loves you. You're so precious. Yes, you are. And then I would put him up on my belly, because I had a bigger belly then, and I'd put him up on my belly, and I would do what? What did you do, parents? You'd sing. Mm-hmm. I love you.
A bushel and a peck, a bushel and a peck, and a hug around the neck, a barrel and a heap, a barrel and...
Y'all didn't sing that to them? Yeah, and sing. And then if I wanted to put them to sleep, I would sing, I would hum. And the deeper the bass, the more their eyes would go down. But I would sing over my children. And as I was reading this verse of scripture, that God laughs with us, but that he sings over us. He picks us up in his arms, y'all. And he brings us up to where we can hear his very heartbeat. And he says, I love you. A bushel and a peck. A bushel and a peck. And he, God sings over us. And we can rest in his presence. And you know what I found? And I'm sure Christians found it too. As long as you keep that baby close to your heart where he can hear your heartbeat and hear you singing over him, he sleeps in heavenly peace. But sit him down. I love you. You're such a brat. You act like your father, but I still love you too. Amen? Even when the kid's screaming, you're still singing over him. And that's the way God is. God loves it when we do right, but God hugs us the tightest when we're misbehaving, when we're colicky, when we've got the crying. See, I remember those days when we would sing our babies to sleep. And I'd take my finger and rub it right over their head. I don't know what it was, but I'd just rub right here. And their little eyes would just go down and I'd sing and I'd just hum. Listen, don't sing in a high soprano because that keeps them awake. You got to sing at the lowest bass voice you can because it reminds them of your heartbeat. And I'd sing and I'd rub. And before you know it, that colicky baby, that screaming child, that fussy little boy or girl was suddenly just asleep and ooing and cooing in your arms. You know what I mean. Maybe they had been fussy. Maybe they'd been disappointing. Perhaps I even had to discipline them. But I'd just pick them up in my arms and I'd hold them tight and I'd sing over them. That's just like God. Now, when we are at their best and they were aggravating or they were angry or they were disruptive, I would still rejoice over them. I would still sing over them. God does the same thing. Part of our adoption benefit when we have been born again is that regardless of our external behavior, Father God loves us. Father God sings over us. Father God laughs with us. Notice the verse in 17, it said, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee. He never leaves you. He doesn't say when you're good or bad, it says in the midst of you. God is with you even when you are disruptive. God is with you even when you are rebellious. God is with you whenever you're going through very low cycles in your life. God is still there and God is still for us. Can I hear an amen? Father God is mighty. Notice what it says. He will save us. Yes, we are saved, born again, but he will also save us from the outward things that are happening all around us. We had testimony time in Sunday school this morning. And two of the ladies said, I just thank the Lord I got through this week. And the other one said, can I say amen to that? Yeah. Was it that kind of week? Sometimes you have those kind of weeks. I ended up in the urgent care yesterday myself for some aches and pains. And so sometimes you just have those days when you say, Lord, I need you to save me. I need you to heal me. I need you to help me. I'm going through a hard time. Aren't you glad that when you read your Bible, God shows you the good, the bad, the ugly of all his men and women of the Bible? He didn't just put them up on this saint platform and said, be like Paul and be like Peter and be like David and did not show you all their bumps and bruises along the way. There's not one person in the hall of faith, Hebrews chapter 11. There's not one prophet. There's not one king. There's not one preacher, not one apostle that did not have setbacks in their life, that did not have trials and tribulations and troubles. In fact, the apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, He talked about how that he was so much under so much pressure that he almost despaired for his life. The prophet Elijah, after he'd had that mighty conquest on Mount Carmel, he found him running for his life from a wicked queen named Jezebel and her evil husband Ahab, and he goes into a cave and he gets up there in the cave and he's in a depressed mood. He even says, "Lord, just take my life. I don't want to live anymore. I'm alone here and there's nobody that's standing up for you but me." Aren't you glad he put that in there? Have there ever been days when you just felt like, "Man, I want to quit. This marriage is too hard. This job is too aggravating. These kids are driving me crazy." Is it just me? Or have you had those days too? Because you see, you can't appreciate the good days if you don't have some bad days. And life is not always on the mountaintop. Remember that song that McCamey sang, "Life is easy when you're up on the mountain"? But it's down in the valley. That's when God is still there. He's still the God of the valley. Amen. Vegetation doesn't grow too good on top of the mountain. You get down the valley where it gets all the rain and the moisture and the sunshine that's kind of filtered, and that's where the growth comes. You've got to have the good and the bad. But the nice thing about it is Father God is mighty and Father God is with us to save us from all those good, bad, ugly days. He will rescue us is really what that says. You ever felt like you need rescuing? Do you ever get in deep water? Do you ever say, "Man, I wish I hadn't made that decision. Boy, that was a bad one. I should have turned right instead of left. I should have not have said that. Boy, I wish I hadn't have bought that car. Wish I hadn't have done that. Man, I hadn't made, why did I do that?" You know, sometimes you have to just get stopped two or three times before you figure it out. We just need help. And sometimes we go through things over and over again. And you know, that's where God laughs with us as we make those mistakes of life. He said, "Didn't you learn the first time?" I ordered something for the nursery and it hasn't come. It's been a month. And when they sent me a tracking number and I put my tracking number in and it came up error 404. This place doesn't exist. And God said, "Son, don't you remember when you had the thrift store and you ordered those two bunk beds from China and they never showed up and they took you $300? Hey, son, don't you get it?" "Yeah, Dad, I did it again. Oh, and I also ordered some neuropathy capsules that hadn't got here either." You know, he just laughs at us and he says, "Come on, buddy, it's time for you to learn." Amen. So sometimes as parents, we laugh with our children when they're going through good times. But we also laugh with our children when they're learning things. Amen. And we get to say these words, "Told you so." You ever had that? No, y'all never did that, did you? "I told you not to do that." And what I told you happened. It's going to happen. Don't do that. And you get it anyway. God laughs with us. He rescues us. He rejoices over us, even when we go through the bitter and the bad times of life. Notice that the result of knowing He is there and noting that He is laughing with us and knowing that no matter what, He is still there rejoicing over us. Verse 17 says, He will save us. He will rejoice over us with laughter. We will rest in His love. Knowing that God is laughing with us. Knowing that God has not forsaken us when we do stupid things. I know y'all don't do stupid things, but I'm admitting my error. Okay? We do stupid things. When we make the same mistake over and over again, God's still there. He's still laughing with us. He's still shaking his head. "That's my boy, but boy, is he dumb." Maybe he's going to learn one of these days, right? He's going to learn one of these days. And you know what the definition of insanity is, don't you? Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. I love to walk, and I went to the doctor because I was having these pains in this side here, and I couldn't figure out what's going on. And I don't like going to doctors. Right? If there's doctors listening, I love you, but I don't like you. And I just don't like going. But I finally went yesterday, and he said, "What did you do?" I said, "I don't know what I did, doc. I don't know that I did anything. What tell me like?" I said, well, you know, we went to the coast the other day and the podiatrist had told me that I needed to walk in the salt water. It would help my situation with my foot. And so I walked 5 miles a day in the ocean, right on the thing. He said, 5 miles? How long did it take you? I said, 33 minutes. It usually takes me 19 to 20 minutes, but it took me 33. He said, so what you have done is you have stretched out this muscle here and you've overworked it. He said, so what have you been doing to try to fix it? I said, well, I've been walking. He laughed. He said, that's what caused it. You need to not overwork it. You're going to have to rest it for a while. And he literally laughed at me. And I thought, I bet you God's laughing at me. What are you doing, son, walking 5 miles? You know you don't walk but 2.5, 3 miles a day. Why are you walking 5 barefoot in the ocean? Come on, guy. I learned my lesson. Amen. God laughs at us. But because he laughs, with us, and because he still sings over us, verse 17 said, we can rest in his love. Rest in his love. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 9. You don't have time to go there, but write this verse down. You will like to memorize it. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 9. Said, and the Lord thy God will make you plenteous in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your land, for good. Say those two words, for good. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. God is working all things for our good. He wants us to be plenteous in the work of our hand. He wants us to have the fruit of our body, and he wants to have the fruit of our cattle and the fruit of our land for good. And here's the key. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. When we can trust that God is a laughing, singing God, who is laughing with us, who is singing over us, who is cradling us in his arms when we're scared, when we're tired, when we're fussy, and he's singing over us. When we can do that, then we will have four things. We will have rest. So it says rest. Rest in his love. We can rest in his love. I grew up as a child, and I know my mom and dad didn't mean it this way, but their parenting skill was that you earned love by performing. If you did good at school, you got an attaboy. If you did something extra, you got an extra cookie or whatever. And they kind of trained you they didn't really love on you unless you were exceptional. Anybody else have a parent kind of like that? And so you kind of grew up thinking the only way that I can be accepted, or the only way I can really get my parents' attention or whatever, is that if I do something good. If I do something bad, I'm going to get yelled at, screamed at, or whipped, or whatever the case may be. And a lot of us, because we grew up with that kind of autocratic parenting model, we think God's that way. But God loves us, period. And God is for us, period. And God is good to us, period. See, we don't have to be the monkey on the grinding organ grinders thing and perform for God to give us peanuts. God shovels us. He's plenteous in his grace. He's plenteous in his mercy. He's plenteous in his blessings. And therefore, I have rest. I have rest in his love, that I don't have to earn my Father's attention. I don't have to earn my Father's love. See, Christianity is not doing. Christianity is done. We say we are Christians because of the finished work of Christ. It is finished. It is done. And the love of God constrains us to serve him. And we have rest in that. And we have peace because of that. Peace. Peace. I read it in Proverbs 3. I read every day Proverbs. And today's 3. I love Proverbs 3. Just read it today when you get home. It is such a great wealth of love and mercy and grace and favor. And it talks about that you'll have peaceful sleep. Your rest will be peaceful and sleep. And what a good thing that is. I was talking to one of the mothers with a toddler today, and I said, did you get any rest this week? She said, oh, he slept through the night all night long. Praise the Lord. And I could just see that peace on her face because her child slept, therefore she got to sleep. Amen? Peace. And the Bible promises us that. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So we get rest because God is laughing and singing over us. We get peace because God is laughing and singing over us. And then notice it's something else. We have assurance because God is laughing and singing over us. It says that we can rest in his love. We have assurance of his love. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Amen? We have that blessed assurance that God is not only for me, God is in me, God is with me, God will take me where he is. He delights in showing me off. I am his trophy. You know that? Ephesians 2:10 says, for you are his workmanship. That word workmanship means his masterpiece. Sometime when you go home today, look in the mirror and say, I am God's masterpiece. I am God's masterpiece. Before my wife goes to work every morning, I say something like this. I don't know if I should let you out of the house or not. You're going to cause an awful lot of men to lust this day. You are absolutely a stunning woman. You are beautiful. When she comes in the door at 5 o'clock, do you have a great day today? Man, you're gorgeous. I said, are you sure you got your birthday right? You sure look younger? I love your hair. You know what I'm doing? I am giving her assurance of my love. And I'm building her up. When you look in the mirror, you should say this. God worked overtime on you today, buddy. You are made in the image of God. God loves you. You are his masterpiece. God loves us, and we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Get that in your crawl, because God is laughing and God is singing over us, and we have rest in him. We have assurance in him. We have blessings in him. God loves me, and he delights in me. I quoted Deuteronomy 39. Notice that verse again, 30 verse 9. And the Lord your God will make you plenteous. Plenteous. God loves to spoil his children. How many pair of shoes you got, buddy? Can't count them. More than pick and pay. Yeah, that's right. I know growing up, boy, my son, who now has 3 children, he had a collection of shoes. I mean, we go in and there'd be shoes just lined up. He had a fetish with shoes, just so many shoes. And my grandson, who's 20 now, going to college, same thing, all kind of shoes everywhere. And I said, son, how many pairs of shoes do you need? He said, I just like them. And guess what? His mom and daddy liked getting them for him. Amen? I liked spoiling his kit. I don't know why he liked Air Jordans. I don't know why he liked those, this, that, and the other, but he did. So he had them because we as parents wanted to spoil him. God says he wants to give you plenteous blessings, more than you need. If you got more than one pair of underwear and a change of clothes, you're blessed. You know, I could take you to Nicaragua or go to Haiti or maybe even South Africa in certain places, and if you could see the kids down there, we have children, literally, and I've seen them, I've been there, stand in line to get a bowl of food that are naked. They have no clothes. Our ministry gave most of the kids in Nicaragua their first pair of shoes because their parents, as much as they, oh, you say, that's terrible, those parents didn't take care of them. They couldn't take care of them because of the situation and the geopolitical situation that was going on. They couldn't get jobs, and so they did the best they could. But I tell you how much they love their kids. They'd stand in line waiting for their children to get food, but they wouldn't take it. The parents would not eat so that their kids could get an extra help of rice or beans or whatever it was we was given. You see, every parent wants their kids to have plenteous. And God wants to over-bless you. He wants to extravagantly bless you. God is a God of extravagance. He'll pay for your ballroom ticket so you can go and enjoy the new knee that he gave to you. Somebody say amen. See, God didn't have to just give you a new knee. He went overboard and gave you tickets to the ball so you can be the head of the ball. Somebody say amen. See, God is extravagant in His blessings. He's plenteous in His spoiling. He said, not only that, overabundance. Listen, get this in your head. Don't have a poverty mentality. It is not spiritual to be poor. Nor is it spiritual to be rich. Paul said, having therefore food and raiment, therewith to be content. But God doesn't want you to be the beggar on the street with a sign saying, I'm a child of God and I'm hungry. In fact, David said, I've been young, now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous, never seen the righteous out begging for bread. We give it away to those who haven't quite learned that principle yet. God has He laughs with us. He loves to bless us with new cars or new clothes or new shoes or better health or getting your insurance paid for or paying for your tickets or whatever the case may be. God blesses us with plenteous, extravagant blessings with an overabundance. He does not want us to have a poverty mentality. Do you expect God to give you a raise? Do you expect God to send you a check for $1,700 that you didn't know was coming? Do you expect God just to keep on blessing? If He keeps on blessing and blessing, if He keeps on pouring it on, oh, if my cup keeps getting fuller, if it keeps on singing a song. That's what Bill Gaither said. That's what I believe too. He just blesses us because He laughs with us. He rejoices over us. He says, I'm going to make you plenteous in every... God ain't a blessing me. Deuteronomy 39, He'll make you plenteous in every W-O-R-K. Every work of your hand. If you're a lazy bum, you're not going to get the plenteous blessings of God. If you're like that guy in the New Testament that took his talent and hid it and didn't do anything with it, you're not going to get the blessings of God. You've got to be plenteous in every work of your hand. And as you work with your hand, He said that whatever your hand touched, wherever your feet landed, He would bless. Have you walked around the ground that you wanted? Have you touched something and said, Lord, I'm doing this. I'm going to believe You're going to bless the work of my hand, the work of my hands. And He will laugh at how much. When you say, wow, I didn't expect to sell it for that. Wow, I didn't expect to get that check. Oh my goodness, look at this. We got a raise, Ethel. I didn't expect that. They just gave me a car. They just gave me a boat. They just gave me a new car. Hey, somebody just put this and left it on the front porch. Look at these blessings. Why? Because you're working with your hands. God has something to work with. And He's laughing as He blesses you abundantly. Amen? God blesses His children plenteous in the work of your hand. But notice something else. Now, I like this and even better. He gives you extravagant blessings, overabundance, not a poverty mentality. But He also said He'll make you plenteous in every work of your hand and in the fruit of your body. Ladies, what's the fruit of your body? Your children. Do you know that God is not interested just in blessing you, but He's interested in generational blessings? We hear a lot about generational curses. Break those curses where your mom and daddy did such and such and so and so. But how about generational blessings? See, you as parents are setting your children up for generational blessings. Now, when you get to my age, I keep reading over in Proverbs that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. See, the children have already been blessed. You've already taken care of them. You've taught them how to work. Now you've got a next generation coming after that, your grandchildren, and you want to leave an inheritance to your grandchildren. It doesn't necessarily mean that you want to leave money or houses or land, that's part of it, but the legacy of faith, the legacy of service, the legacy of love, the legacy of community service, the legacy of Jesus. But you want to leave that to your children's children. I pray more for my grandchildren now than I do my children. And He said here that He wanted to bless us with plentiness in the fruit of our body. Our children and our grandchildren will be blessed. Hey, we've been praying for my middle child, and guess what? They're in church this morning, and they've decided to homeschool their kids. Blessing or curse, I don't know, but it's a step in the right direction. It's a whole lot better than it used to be. Why? Because God is laughing with me. God is singing over me. God is preparing us for generational wealth. And then notice something else. He said he wants to bless you in the fruit of your cattle. My grandson has this business called Landon's Livestock Hauling. Livestock. I now understand what that means. He buys a cow at an auction, and then he sells it for more. That cattle is live, and it's his stock. So God said that he wanted to bless us in our cattle. So what does that mean? He wants to bless us in our livestock. He wants to bless us in whatever investments we might make. He wants to bless you with gold and silver. He wants to bless you with cryptocurrency. He wants to bless you with stocks and bonds. He wants to bless you in real estate. Whatever investments you may make, God wants to bless you in that area. Does that sound like God is a cheap God? No, He's an extravagant God. And He, in Proverbs and Daryl, one of my favorite verses, you know it too, He said that He will give you knowledge of witty inventions, creative solutions to your problems. And God wants to bless you with that. Why? Because He laughs with us. He's excited for us. He delights in us. He rejoices over us. The fruit of our cattle, our investments, our wealth, our IRAs, our savings accounts, whatever the case may be, God wants to bless you in that area. But not just a little bit, but He said plenteous. God wants to give us abundance, not so we can be greedy, but so we can take care of the needy. The Bible says so many times, if we take care of the poor, God will take care of us. That's the reason I get excited about the other's first Sunday and how we go and feed. There are no lower strata in our society than who you will be dealing with tonight. As we go to the homeless shelter and feed the homeless people, they are, in our American society, the lowest rung of the ladder, the poorest of the poor. Am I right or wrong? And God said, when you take care of the poor, I'll take care of you. When you give out of your, maybe even out of your need, but you give out of the abundance I've given to you, then I'll bless you back 100-fold. So all of you that work, and all of us do work in one way or another with this other's first Sunday, you should expect a blessing, because God delights to bless us abundantly. And verse 9 said, for the Lord will again bless you, again rejoice over you for good. Again and again and again. That's a progressive word. He said he will bless you again and rejoice over you again for good. Just like He rejoiced over your father's generational blessings. God is good. God is for us. God provides for us. But God also protects us. When some of your enemies come against you, our Father just kind of laughs at them. You think you're going to get to my child? Anything will happen. No. Devil, you think you're going to... What did God do with Job? He basically laughed when the Satan said, if you let me curse, get on to him and take away his blessings, he'll curse you. And God just laughed and said, yeah, you crazy man. That's my boy. That's my man Job. And he loves me and I love him. And so God laughed with Job as he went through the trials that he went through, and at the same time he laughed at the devil for trying to get to his child. You are protected. Thank you, Jesus. You have angels that are all around you, because the Bible said that the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear Him. Can I hear an amen? When the Hebrew boys were thrown into the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Nebuchadnezzar looked inside, he said, did we not throw 3 men bound in the fire? And they said, yeah. He said, well, I see fourth, and the fourth man looks like the Son of God. And the Bible said the angel of the Lord was with those boys in the fire. And God was laughing at the enemy because they thought that they were going to destroy them. But just like that, God used it for good. We talk about them today. 4,000 years later, we still talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We talk about Joseph and the 7 years of famine in Egypt. God laughed at Pharaoh when he thought he was going to destroy the children of Israel through slavery. And God brought the plagues, and God laughed at him. But God laughed with Joseph when he made him the prime minister. Amen? See, God protects us in spite of what is happening in the world today. God provides for us. God protects us. God fills us with His joy. If God is singing and laughing over me, then should I not have the joy of the Lord, which is my strength? But God is sitting up there laughing because He wants us to see that He is a God who will provide for us. He will fill us with joy. And when we look at everything knowing that our God reigns, if God be for us, who can be against us? Everything works together for good. And He said it again, for the Lord will again rejoice over you for good. You look in that mirror and you say, I'm a masterpiece, and everything is happening to me, for me, is for my good and His glory. You've got to get that perspective of life. When you get that Christocentric perspective of life, that Christ is the center and I am one of His to serve Him, and everything that happens to me today, God has ordained, God has planned, God has allowed, and therefore it's for my good. Father, help me see from Your perspective. Help me laugh at the devil and laugh with You, knowing that all things are going to work together for good. He delights in making us happy. He has a purpose for our lives. And when we walk in His will, He rejoices over us. God laughs with us. God laughs because of us. He rejoices over us. He rejoices with us. And yes, He even sings over us. So the question today, and we're going to get to part two next week. The sweet laugh and the sweet joy of the Lord, that God is laughing with you, God is singing over you, ought to give you just a renewed sense of victory. Amen? Victory is mine, and I am His because God loves me and God is good all the time, and therefore everything that happens to me is for His purpose, for His glory. And therefore, if my Father laughs with me, and if my Father's singing over me, everything's all right. In my Father's house, everything's all right. So therefore, I pray for His kingdom to come down. Let me see it from His perspective and know that everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house, come on. In my Father's house, everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. God is laughing with us. God is singing over us. We have a laughing, singing God. Let that be an encouragement to you. Now next week, we're going to talk about sometimes God's laugh is sinister. And He goes from laughing with us to laughing at us. And we don't want that. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Rivers of Living Waters broadcast, brought to you by the Making a Difference Network. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry in your life. Please write to us at Living Waters Broadcast, 911 Treasure Place Southwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28055, U.S. of A. Or email us at maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Again, that's maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Or visit our website, maddenworldwide.com, for more information. Thank you for tuning in as we study the Word of God together. Join us next week for the continuation of this series. Until then, We'll be praying for you and your family that together we can make a difference around the corner and around the world.